said last 2 months will be the busiest 2 months of your life. You go, yeah, it'll probably be pretty busy. It was insane.
Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
Okay, here I am with Pat McGannon from PM Gigs. How's it going?
Good. How about you, Chris?
Very good.
So, what do you do, Pat?
My company, PM Gigs Inc., is a full-service music and entertainment company. So, what we do is we provide music and various forms of entertainment, production like sound, lights, staging, on-site talent coordination services to our customers. And our customer base is mostly made up of corporations, businesses. We also do a lot of social and wedding and milestone type clients, like 50th birthdays, that kind of thing. And we also do a lot of work in the incentive market and the convention traffic market.
And so what is the scope of what you're providing to the client?
It's everything from a piano player in a corner for a cocktail party to sometimes we're dealing with an event that was lasting five straight days where they need multiple facets of entertainment. And it can be upwards of anywhere from, 20, 30 people all the way up to 2,000 or 3,000. It really depends on what the client's looking for, what they want, how long they're here, and what kind of budget that they have and what they want to do overall.
So when a client approaches you, what do you need from them to provide the service?
So we usually, a real key one, and as obvious as this seems, we need the date. I know that sounds really facetious and sort of sarcastic, but it is. We get a lot of contacts around here. Oh, it's in May. Well, that narrows it down to 31 potential days it could be.
Yeah, and you're potentially dealing with a group that could be six members that have to coordinate their schedules for that day.
That's exactly right. And that particular group, we may already have booked on other events within our company, or that group is booking themselves into tours or into club dates or other corporate dates or private dates that they're getting on their own. So date's really key. Also, we want to know the venue where it's going to be held and how many people are attending. And this kind of falls into your world a little bit about how many are going to be there and the size of the venue, because it's going to determine how much amplification is required or what type of production elements are required, because not a lot of bands, not a lot of entertainers carry a lot of their own production that can handle over 200 or 300 people. Some have it, but very few do. When you're getting beyond 200 and 300 people, usually they need to rent it, or they will need to have it provided on site so that people can hear what's going on.
So it seems extremely important to have synergy between the act that's performing and the identity of maybe the corporation or the theme of the wedding or something like that. So how do you work with the client to make sure that their vision is kind of followed?
So we're asking a lot of questions from the outset. We're asking them things like, what type of event it is. It may be a company contacting us. But maybe it's a milestone event for the company. We're also asking questions about, the type of guests that are being invited. And even within companies, you can have different styles of events. Like some events are geared towards their customers. Some of events are geared towards their employees and their guests. And so that's another determining factor for us is who the audience is actually going to be, as well as you mentioned the theming, because we get everything from Cinco de Mayo to, we're having a stampede party to we're having a holiday party to, we're having an 80s night. So, every type of event does have its own, different style. And so we do our best to try to line up what the customer is thinking and try to get as much information out of them as we possibly can to realize their vision.
So how long have you been involved and just generating contacts over the years?
So my company is in its 16th year now. And so I started out really as I still am a musician, and I was never happy with how other booking agents, other companies booked our band. I just thought that they weren't good negotiators and not good at follow-up and that kind of thing. So I started doing it for our band back when we sort of started. The Dino Martinis is who I play with. We started the band 23 years ago, and I handled our bookings pretty much from when we started. And I just really, I had a real affinity for it. I'm a detail person, logistical person, and just really learned a lot from customers and situations about how I wanted our band to be booked. And so that's when I kind of had the vision of, I wanted a full-time career in music. And this was a way I could find to do it, was to start my own entertainment company.
And so you're pooling resources, not only from Calgary, but from acts across Canada, I imagine from the States.
And that's true. Yeah. We're doing everything from, you know, flying people up from Los Angeles or New York or wherever they happen to be to, we're getting people locally here within Calgary, within Edmonton, you know, Vancouver. It depends on who's available and what exactly we're looking for. And again, a lot of it comes down to what the client is willing to spend. Because once we start going outside of Calgary borders, the price will escalate just because of all the other logistical factors involved, like flights, like ground transport.
Accommodations,
that's right. And if you're bringing people up from the United States, there's immigration issues that come into play, extra costs there. And when we're flying people in, just as a rule of practice for us, is if we're more than an hour to an hour and a half away from Calgary, we're bringing them in the night before. Because we just don't want to take a risk of, you know, even in summertime, you know, somebody has a heart attack on the plane, they got to turn the thing around. I don't have talent. So we're really pushing our clients. If you're going to bring somebody in from far away, they're here, you know, a night or two before.
And this is something that the client probably wouldn't think of, that maybe you've experienced, that you can use your experience to bring to their table.
Exactly.
So what are some other unexpected things that you would be taking care of that your client wouldn't have thought of, perhaps?
So if a client is not using a company like us, so for example, they're booking their own entertainment directly, their own DJ directly, that if that person cancels on them, they will have to drop everything they're doing and get a backup plan in there. With us, our company, I mean, I have an army of bands and DJs and talent standing behind me that we have easy access to and that we can readily replace should anybody cancel for. And there's lots of reasons why people cancel. You know, I'm sick, I've got a family emergency, you know, somebody passed away in my family, I broke my leg, I can't stand up anymore. I mean, there's I can't get into the country. Yeah, I mean, there are those things do happen. And so that's a real value that we add, is that we can jump on any emergency really, really rapidly, and take that pressure, you know, off the client. And the other thing that we have too is we have we carry $5 million liability insurance. So I'm also a WCB member in good standings. So if anything happens to our people when they're on site, or they inadvertently create an incident, like there's lots of things that can happen, you know. Band moves in their own PA and they forget to secure something and it falls on somebody and breaks a guest's arm. Well, my insurance will cover that claim if there is a claim. Most bands, DJs, a lot of them don't carry insurance because they're doing what they do on a more casual level. You know, they don't think about the risks that are involved.
Right. That makes sense. What about the time frame of the event itself? When you're working with a band, are you actively setting up the itinerary with the client, like, or is the client kind of saying, okay, band needs to be here, and then asking you what time sound check, you know, what do they need?
Yeah, it really depends on these one-offs where we're just sending one band. We will usually connect the band or the talent directly with our customer to do what we call the advance and figure out what time they need to be there, what time they need to load in. When we're doing the initial, we'll ask some pretty obvious questions, like, is there any restrictions to getting into the room to set up? Sometimes we'll just tell them, look, the band needs, we need to know when your guests are arriving. So we usually like to back out 3 hours from guest arrival. But we usually have, we want the bands and the talent communicating with our customer on a one-off, just so they get to know each other. And also, we're not going to the show. The band is going to the show. So we don't have a handle on how long it takes them to do their job to set up. So we want the band to be connecting with our customer. The only time we don't do that is if I've got multiple facets of talent on the same night. So I don't want 10 bands or 10 clowns or whatever contacting my client. We'll do it with our customer, and then we'll create a production schedule, and then we'll create a show flow so everybody knows who's on stage when, who's getting you to get on stage and off stage and that sort of thing.
And what about the band's requirements themselves, like their rider, technical rider, meals? Are you coordinating that with the band? Do you have like a pool of PDFs from bands just that you can provide to your client?
That's exactly what we have. We have some of that where the band has supplied us with a pretty thorough rider. And thorough doesn't mean it needs to be long and onerous. Like a thorough rider can be, if you're a four-piece band, we need 4 dinner meals, or maybe you ask for a buyout at $25 a person if it's a local gig, and we need some bottles of water, and we need a stage this big, and we need access to wall power. It can be like really a quarter of a page. We do need to know that information up front, and why we need to know it up front is we're disclosing to our customer at the quotation phase everything that the price includes and everything that the price does not include. Because some of these meals, some of these beverages at hotel sites and at venues are very expensive. Like, for example, like even power, like at some venues, they charge $1 an amp. Well, if you're asking for a 50 amp range plug, that's $50 that our client now has to pay.
Yeah, and that's right? Something that they might not consider if they had never hired you as well.
Well, that's it. And we don't want to blindside our customers either. We've had this situation before where bands or talent don't tell us what they need. We do a quote. The client says, yeah, this is going to be great. The band shows up and said, oh, hey, I need 8 dinner meals here. Well, at some of our more elite hotels and venues, dinner meals to bands are $65 each plus 18% gratuity. All of a sudden, our client's absorbing $800. And we want to be just as communicative as possible with our customer right up front, that you know exactly what you have to pay the band, and here's your additional costs to have the band actually there.
So you were recently hired to book or be the talent buyer for Juno Fest.
That's right.
What were some of the challenges that you faced?
Yeah, well, our company, I was the actual producer of the whole thing. So nothing can prepare you for something that big. I mean, I had lots of conversations with past producers because we were given access to those people from the Junos, and the last 2 months will be the busiest 2 months of your life. You go, yeah, it'll probably be pretty busy. It was insane. It really was, because this is one of these music festivals in Canada that requires you to wait until the nominations for the Junos come out. We couldn't book anybody because the mandate from the Junos is they want a schedule full of nominees. And that makes sense. That's what you're promoting as the Junos, is the nominations. And so we couldn't start booking anything till February 2nd, but we had to have the whole thing done by the 29th of February so they could release on March 2nd, here's who's playing. And then 1 week later, we started selling the tickets for an event that started April 1st.
I was wondering when I had heard about it, how the time frame, why it was so tight.
It
completely makes sense.
And that's really the reason is it's just a tight time frame with the nominations to when the event actually happens. And those 8 weeks are just absolutely, it's crazy because a lot of bands can't make it, right? I mean, you're going to nominees, you're waiting for them to accept an offer 5 days later. Oh, yeah, you know, ABC band is not going to be coming. So now we're going back to the drawing board and having to reprogram all the nights that you made in that one venue for that one day. So there was a lot of going back and starting over again. As we made it through the nominees in the process, it got a little bit faster because once the nominees were out and the tickets were on sale, that part was a little easier because we knew who was playing and playing where. But still, it's 151 bands in two nights in 17 venues, 600 musicians. Like it was a lot of people, and all those people have needs and wants, and I want a 30-person guest list, and why is there no meals, and you know, there's, yeah, it was a lot.
So how did you keep your phone battery charged?
Yeah, well, I actually ended up buying another
really?
iPhone. Yeah, I bought a second charger that I kept in my vehicle, and I had one here. So I always had a USB hookup in my van that whenever
constant
I went
constant texts when, and
yeah,
phone calls.
I mean, on that Saturday night, April 2nd, when our second night of the Junos, that Saturday I fielded 400 text messages.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. So
I know it's laughable now. Boy, when it was happening, it was like I can't believe how busy this is.
You seem pretty calm when I saw you, though.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when it's all happening, there's really not much. If a crisis comes up, you do your best to deal with it fast. And I mean, you can get as stressed out as you want, but
so
it's
would
not
there,
help.
If you could go back and do something different for that event, would you do something?
I don't really know if I would. I mean, I might have maybe increased my staff level here by one person to just help me do a lot of the just the logistical stuff and that sort of thing. I mean, my company still kept going. Like our regular business did not stop. So I basically had to sort of exit my business for that time to get the Junos done. So I would say that'd be one thing. It's just maybe having another staff member to help me out, because I think I underestimated how much work it actually ended up being in the end, you know.
I find that just dealing with bands and production, there's usually a pretty maybe like 6 to 8 emails of updates, like, oh, and did I mention we need this? And yeah. Did I mention we need this? Is there any tool that you use to keep everything all in one go? Or
I mean, we're using email just like anybody else. When we did the Juno Fest, I hired a technical coordinator to deal with all the technical riders of all the bands, because what I realized when we were about 2.5 weeks out, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do all these advances in time. So we used the Dropbox method. And then we would just invite the technicians to the Dropbox, and we had it all sorted by venue, and that seemed to work really well. Is people could go and get the information or have it on their phones as they needed. I mean, the old days of paper copies and, you know, when you're emailing, it's then you got to find the email. We find using the Dropbox method or a Google Docs. We like Dropbox because that's what we use. It's super handy.
So it's something that's accessible to everyone and can kind of change organically as you go and still be accessed just to the current version.
Well, that's really it, because if someone sends you a new rider, you can easily delete that old one and input and just upload the new one, and everybody's working on current information. And also, you need it in real time, because you know, if a sound tech needs to see what that stage plot is, or someone who's assisting that person, they can just call it up on their phone or iPad and see the patch right there.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I always print it out and then I leave it in the van.
Yeah,
and
well,
scroll
I,
through the email
I,
on my phone.
I think there's a lot of people who do that, or the plot that you get is 3 years old,
yeah,
and they don't have the horn player anymore, and you're still rigging for it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What is one of your most fond memories from an event that you've been involved in?
Well, we used to do some pretty incredible Stampede parties. Now this is going back now about 8 or 9 years, where that was the like 2007, 2008, where everybody was trying to outdo one another. And so we did an event for a client where we got to program an all Canadian classic rock stampede day with Chilliwack, Trooper, and Loverboy.
Nice.
And it was, we did everything. We did all the staging, all the sound, all the lights.
Which venue was it?
It was actually at the client's facility.
Oh, I see.
So we basically had to start with nothing. And this was an outdoor event. And of course, the day we did the event, it was 6 degrees and pouring rain.
Yeah.
And, which is, you know, typical Calgary stampede weather that you get. And the reason for me that it was so fun is I just grew up with all those bands. And so to be around them, and they were totally open to sharing, you know, my stupid story about when I bought Hot Shots by Trooper. And, you know, they were genuinely willing to listen to what I had to say about how much I liked their band. And I guess it was a bit of a guilty pleasure, but everybody loved it. And all the bands were great to work with. And I really learned a lot on that one about all the logistics surrounding the planning to getting those bands on stage. It was one of our bigger events. It was for about 3,000 people. And it was just really eye-opening as to, you know, how much work you have to do and how many things you need to make sure are there for these types of acts.
What about a painful memory?
Well, we did the World Water Ski Championships in 2009, and we had a stage that was in the water. So the bands, when they went to play, had to be boated out on, yeah.
How did they have power there?
It ran under the water, and it ran up into the stage. So the shore was about 75 feet away, 100 feet away, and so the line went under the water and up to the stage area, and the band played on the stage in the water. And what was really challenging about it was the audiences couldn't connect with the bands because the stage was way out in the water and they're on the shore.
Right.
And so it made for, it was really logistically challenging, and, you know, we didn't sell enough tickets, and yeah, it was really hard work.
And in the initial stage, that's probably one of those ideas where, like, what if we put them out on the water?
Yeah, and everyone, oh, this will be so cool. And it's like, then the day of the show, everyone's like, where's the audience? Oh, they're on the shore. Oh, yeah. You know, then the bands are like, oh, this is really great. But I did learn a lot from that. Again, every event you do, you learn something.
And,
as tough as it can be, I think you have to keep your mind really open, you know, and just digest as much as you can and use it again in another situation.
I think that's the invaluable thing about hiring someone like yourself or a wedding planner or an event planner, instead of trying to coordinate everything yourself, is
just
all these small things that have accumulated over time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I'm not trying to say our job is harder than anybody else's, but I think coordinating entertainment and talent is a lot more complicated than it seems on the surface. Because if you don't work in this area all the time, you don't know the little things that people need to do, like the entertainers need to pull off their shows. You don't know about power, and you don't know about staging, and you don't know how, you know, you just don't know all the little things that make it work.
We received a rider recently for a local bar, and on the rider, it just this tiny little note, it just said, we need 12 to 20 power drops for all of their guitar pedals and, you know, whatever various,
wow,
like their laptops and stuff like that.
All right.
If that's overlooked, then, you know, half the content of their show is not available. They can't even connect to anything.
And to try and react to that the day of the show, when you're setting up and loading in, and if it's like a weird time of day or it's a night or whatever, or a Sunday.
Yeah, and then you're going to pay a premium. Like, if you happen to have the cell number of somebody who has access to that adapter or whatnot, you know. So it's tricky.
It can get very tricky. Yeah, power is one of those things where a lot of people have, like, they overlook it. so many times, and they don't think about the consequences of well, I mean, if there's no power, it's the show's over. I mean, everything that is just about everything that's done entertainment wise has an electricity component to it.
Working with your own band, coming from the other side, when mm-hmm. somebody books you, what do you expect from them, or what is your experience as
well,
the musician?
I'm handling all the bookings for our band, so I really know what to tell people and what to say and what to ask for, because I mean, I know what I want to see when we're show up.
So,
right?
So what would be something that someone might be surprised of?
I think people are often surprised about, why do you need a green room? Like, why do you need a dressing room? And the reason we need it is our band's show, in between our sets, we're changing costumes. Like we're getting out of one outfit and getting into another. So we've got, you know, six people plus two crew and all that luggage. So we need somewhere to put it. And I mean, we've got five figures invested in band wardrobe. We're not changing in somebody's washroom. There's just no way. Yeah. You know, that's how things get ruined and you can't use them again. And so that sometimes people go, well, why do you need that? Well, that's why we need it.
Or even just storing flight cases.
Like, yeah.
You look at the stage and you say, oh, awesome light show, awesome sound. Everything's great. And then you forget that you need like however many square feet to store
the empty road cases. That I know. I mean, even with our band, I mean, we're needing, you know, half a meeting room just to store the empties. And sometimes there's no room. The empties need to go back into the truck. I mean, that takes a lot of time. I mean, you're basically doing, you know, four load-ins and load outs, because you got to put it all back in.
Yeah, wheeling everything back and forth.
Yeah,
that's what I found with the timing. A lot of times, they might expect to, we'll go in this day, we'll do a sound check, and then, oh, something needs to be moved to this other area,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we'll have the stage available for this, and just kind of the logistics where it might add a certain amount of labor, and they don't really realize that they're kind of adding an expense by not planning it in a certain way.
Yeah, that's and this happens at a lot of venues where our crew arrives with the gear, or any crew arrives with the gear, and you can't get to the stage because all the tables are already set. So all the table, all the place settings, all the chairs are already set and in place, and to get to the stage, you actually have to strike 6-10 tables. And when we're doing our show advances, I'm always asking, when are you going to place the tables in the room, or how could we have clear access to the stage? Because to push all the cases to the stage and get it done, you need a lot of room. You just do. So yeah, that can add labor for sure, and cost to a client.
If you were on a desert island and you could only have one meal for the rest of your life every day, what would it be?
There's this meal that we have up at the River Cree Casino. There's this restaurant there called Sage Restaurant, and I do a dueling piano show up there with a dueling partner of mine, about twice a month, and it's a little piece of tenderloin, medium rare, three crab legs,
the surf and turf,
chicken breast, yeah, three jumbo shrimp, these whipped potatoes, and kale, broccoli, and cauliflower. That'd be perfect.
Wow.
It's really good.
I like how you had exactly what you wanted already in mind.
Yeah, because I've been eating that meal about twice a month now for about the past 6 months, and it's something I genuinely look forward to. It's just always, like, you don't even bring us a menu anymore. They just go, oh, yeah, you guys, that's what you want. I'm like, yep, yeah, nothing's changed.
And lastly, if people are looking to get a hold of you, where can they find out more about you, the Dino Martinis, and your company?
With PM Gigs, you can go to our website, pmgigs.com. Dino Martinis is dinomartinis.com. Send us an email, phone us. We are also on Facebook with all of our companies. We're on Twitter with all of our companies. We're easily reachable. We can make just really for our clients any scenario, we can pretty much make work for them.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Cheers.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.